202. Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, dark in this, far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright, land beyond.
Good to see this number out this morning with your Bibles ready to study. And if you'll be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin our study there in just a moment of time. Good to have the Conyers visiting with us and the Carroll family. And good to have the Clarks visiting with us. If Brother Matthew and Cheryl seem to have a smile on, it could be because their daughter and son-in-law are here, or it could be because their grandbaby's here. And so, precious grandbaby, granddaughter they have. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and if you would, look with me at two verses. Look at verse 9, and notice the plea from the Apostle Paul as he is writing to the young evangelist Timothy. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Then, if you would, drop down to verse 21. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as Perdens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. This was the last epistle penned by the Apostle Paul, and it was written from a prison in Rome shortly before he was put to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. The Roman power at this time was persecuting the church of my Lord, and Christians were being persecuted on every hand. You could see that many of the early Christians had to hide in graveyards and caves to worship our God for fear that the Roman power would persecute them for their faith in Jesus Christ. Nero, one of the emperors of that day, had some of the officials burn part of the city of Rome so he could reconstruct this part of the city with images of himself so he could be honored. And when Rome was burned, a lot of people suspected Nero, and to try to hide that suspicion, Nero blamed the Christians. So here you have the Christians being blamed for something they did not do. You had the Jews hating them for leaving their traditions to follow the Christ, And you had the Romans who hated them because they would not bow before Caesar and call him God. Thus, Christians were undergoing great persecution. And at this time, Paul is in prison, and he writes this epistle to Timothy. And in this epistle, he makes a plea. And I want us to stop, as this is the last Sunday of the year 2017. And what I want us to do is to think about last chances. And I want us to note several times throughout Scripture where an individual had just one chance, one last opportunity to do what they needed to do, and then we'll make application and the lesson will be yours. I want you to think about that young man Timothy to whom this epistle was written. And notice that Paul is writing and asking this young man to come quickly in verse 9. And in verse 21, he begs him to do his utmost to come before winter. Someone may ask the question, why before winter? Because winter is when the ports are closed and there's no sea travel. If Timothy did not leave before winter, he would have to wait until spring. And Paul does not seem to think he'll be around until then. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 6. He says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul writing says, I don't think I'll be here much longer. Timothy, do your best to get here. Come quickly. Come before winter. I've often stopped and thought about what did Timothy do. The Bible doesn't say, but my hope is that he left immediately for Rome. What would we think of Timothy if he wrote back and said, Paul, I'd like to come, but I've got to go to Ephesus first and then Colossae, and I need to check on a work before I come. And then he missed the last ship to Rome. What if he missed his last chance to see Paul? Paul wanted him to bring his coat. He wanted him to bring his books. But most of all, he wanted Timothy, his son in the faith. And I want you to think about what a shame if Timothy missed his last chance to see his aged friend, his father in the faith. Could you imagine the pain in the heart of Timothy if he missed his last chance? But if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Mark and the 10th chapter, I want you to observe a man identified as Bartimaeus. And the divine revelation said that man was blind. And there he is sitting outside the city of Jericho and he's begging. And I want you to take note as they come into the city in verse 46, as they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Here Jesus is leaving the city, going to Jerusalem, where he'll be put upon the cross. But notice Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is passing by. Look at verse 47. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And you remember, Jesus said, What do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do for you? And he said, Rabbi, that I might receive my sight. And notice, Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. I thought about that man by the name of Bartimaeus. When Jesus was passing by and he heard about it, he didn't say, well, you know, I want to find out more about this Jesus before I talk to him. He didn't say, well, you know, I'll wait till I'm alone because the people rebuked him and said, be quiet. He didn't find some excuse to keep him from Jesus. Here was a man that wanted to talk to the Lord and nobody and nothing was going to keep him from getting to the Lord. Here were people telling him to be quiet. And he cried out all the more. You know, my friend, sometimes we'll do that with children. We'll say, shh. And the more we say, shh, the louder they get. And here they tell Bartimaeus, shh. And he says, Lord, have mercy. He is begging for Jesus to stop. But you know, my friend, he didn't wait or make some excuse. Had he made some excuse, he never would have been healed. This would be the only time that he would see Jesus. His first chance would be his last chance, because Jesus would be put upon the cross very soon. And can you imagine Bartimaeus, had he sat by and made some excuse not to see Jesus? Had he not went forward and asked Jesus? I love verse 50. He threw aside his garment. Nothing was going to slow him down from seeing the Son of God. But I want you to think about a third thing. In your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 22nd chapter, you'll find where Peter, James, and John come with Jesus into the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus gives them a command. He says, watch and pray. He says, so that you will not enter into temptation, watch and pray. And three times Jesus goes off and comes back and he finds the disciples sleeping. I've often thought about in Luke 22, beginning at verse 39 through verse 46, how that made Jesus feel. He looked at them. He said, your flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. And he would awake them and arouse them and say, pray. And instead, they would go back to sleep. And I've often wondered how many times after Jesus was crucified, after they had forsook him, after they had fled, after Peter had denied him, did they wish that they could go back, and instead of sleeping, they wished they could pray. This was their chance. And it was their only chance, and it was their last chance to pray with Jesus, and it was wasted. It was squandered because they slept instead of praying. Have you ever thought about how that must have hurt them? Jesus had one request for them in the garden. Pray for me. He didn't ask them to go into the city and bring back a bunch of gold. He didn't ask them to go out and do something unreasonable. He asked them to pray. And instead of praying, they slept and squandered an opportunity. This was their last chance to pray with Jesus before he went to the cross. But then if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Acts in the 24th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 24th chapter, you'll find a man identified as Felix. And you'll remember that this man was an individual that was a governor at that time. And as the governor at that time, he had Paul in his custody. And at times, this man would allow Paul to have visitors and such in verse 23. And sometimes, this man by the name of Felix would call for Jesus. And if you look in your Bible in verse 24, after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled, the King James Version said. The New King James says he was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Can you imagine this man listening to the Apostle Paul? And he becomes fearful, he trembles, but he doesn't obey the gospel. Instead, he sends Paul away. He said, I'll send for you at a more convenient time. But the Bible never says he obeys. You know what that man did? He missed his chance. He could have been a child of God. He could have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter his past sins. It didn't matter what he'd done in days gone by. Every sin could have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Felix decided to put Paul out of his companionship because he did not want to cease his sin. And here was a man who missed his last chance. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lessons years. Do you recognize that this is your last chance in 2017? And I want you to think about there are going to be a last chance for us to do some things this year. We got one more opportunity tonight to come together and hear Brother Brandon preach. We've got opportunities to do a lot of good things, but you know there's going to be a last chance for this year, but there's going to ultimately be a last chance. Do you ever stop to think that this may be our last chance to make a relationship right? How many times have we not made a relationship right with someone, and it's too late, my friend, once they're in the coffin? And I'll tell you something, if I'm holding a grudge and I have an attitude with someone, now's the time to make it right. Now's the time to make for reconciliation. Because, my friend, this may be the last chance. But secondly, it could be your last chance to say, I love you. And encourage one. And help one. Because it's too late when they're in the casket. I've been made fun of because I've never been ashamed to say I love you. But I'll tell you, my friend, I want people to know that I love, how much I love them and appreciate them. And that's the words I want them to remember. I want them to know that I'm concerned about them and that I care about them. And if there's some shame in that, my friend, then let me be ashamed, because I'll tell you something, I think we need to say to one another, I love you. Sometimes we act like we don't use those words. I'll tell you the problem, we don't use them enough. And if we love one another, we're going to show that love. And I'll tell you something, we're going to encourage one another. I remember when Robert Jackson died, my last words to him was, I love you. I remember when my mother died, my last words, I love you. Can you think of any last words you would rather say to someone than to let them know I love you? But what if this is our last chance? But thirdly, what if it's your last chance to help someone? You know, there are some who are lonely and they're mistreated and they live in this life and they don't have many friends. And I recall some who were made fun of when I was growing up who died. I remember one boy one time, we came in from gym class and some of them put him in the towel rack and threw him into the showers and turned the water on, and everyone laughed. And though I didn't take part in what they did, I didn't do anything. That boy later suffered a stroke, and I saw him walking down the hall. And I said to him, hi. And from his side of his mouth, he tried to say hi back. And I thought, when I heard he died, how I wish I would have been kinder to him. Sometimes we can be so cruel to people. And sometimes we can backbite and gossip and we can say all kinds of things about somebody. And I want to tell you, my friend, there can be people who are just wanting someone to be their friend. But I'll tell you another thing. This could be your last chance to get your life right. You know, we don't know when the Lord's going to come back. We act like we have the attitude he could come at any time. But in the back of our mind, we always say, he won't come now. How do we know he won't? Or how do we know that any of us will live through the year 2018? In the year 2009, I preached a sermon on the very first Sunday at Campbell Road. Said, this year thou shalt die, from Jeremiah. And you know, almost 30 people died in that congregation that year. How many people are sitting with us right now who at the end of next year won't be sitting with us? And my question is this our last opportunity? Are we going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because this could be the last time you ever hear a sermon. This may be the last time I ever preach a sermon. And I'll tell you something, if it's my last chance, I want to take advantage of it. And I'll tell you what so many people do. They play Russian roulette with their soul. I'll tell you, your soul's too precious to play games with. Your soul's too precious to say that I will do something later like Felix and never get around to taking care of that which is eternal and that which will last forever somewhere. And if I am a child of God and I've been baptized for the remission of sins, when I make my wrongs, before I pillow my head at night, I pray for forgiveness. It could be my last chance. And I want to know one thing as we close this sermon. Will you miss your last chance to get right with God? I live with some regret, and I'm not trying to preach this to make us regretful, but to make us mindful of what we should do. But I remember a lady one time that was in my first word, and I was going to go see her, and I said, you know, I'm just going to wait till tomorrow, and I'll go see her tomorrow and pray with her. And she died in the middle of the night. You can't help those things. You never know. But I've always regretted not going. But the greatest regret anyone can have is not being ready to meet the Lord. And this, my friend, could be your last chance. Don't gamble with your soul. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.